Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Ryan Hwang with you. Time now for the bigger picture. Usually with the bigger picture, you've got one eye on the United States and it sort of gives you a preview of what to look out for the day. But we're starting this morning with some news around a region where Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison was speaking live about half an hour ago.
Yeah, so what we know so far is that he is trying to get veto powers to scrap any past deals or maybe even future deals or what's ever in the pipeline because of the ongoing row between them on many issues about COVID-19. And you've also got, I guess, Australia trying to weaken the potential influence that China might get with all these deals. So that is now under the crosshairs and likely to kick things up a notch between them.
There was an issue about Australian wine as well earlier this week. But I think one of the takeaways was that the PM, Scott Morrison, said it was vital that Australia speak with one voice. So that might threaten a controversial deal that Victoria State has agreed with China.
Yeah, so that could rattle markets today. To get a bigger picture, I've got Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane.
Good morning, Ryan. Hope you're well.
Hey, happy Thursday. You're, of course, speaking to us from Sydney, so you are right in the thick of things. Shane, help us walk through how markets are going to digest the latest from what Scott Morrison is saying. He's addressed the worrying situation around Victoria State on the COVID-19 front, and you also have him calling for Australia to speak with one voice. What does this mean for international relations when you think about how China is such a huge trading partner? What does this mean for businesses and the Australian dollar?
Well, this issue has been going on for a while now. I guess ever since Australia called for an independent inquiry as to the origins of coronavirus, tensions then have been ratcheting up to some degree. Obviously, tariffs put on barley exports to China, bans on some abattoirs exporting meat to China. Ironically, one of those abattoirs was actually Chinese-owned. Then some issues regarding foreign investment in Australia and, of course, the wine inquiry on the part of China and now, of course, the latest one around veto power over agreements the states might come up with regarding China. The one on the states, I guess, has been around for the last couple of days. I don't think the market would regard that as any particular surprise. The share market earlier in the year when the issue around barley and then meat came up, I think got very nervous. But so far has been taking it in its stride. Obviously, there's impact on individual companies. If you're a wine-producing company listed on the share market, it hasn't been good news for your share price. But generally, the share market's taken it in its stride on the view that ultimately the trading relationship will be preserved and that these issues will ultimately be resolved in some way without adversely affecting the bigger picture. To put some context on it, Australian wine going to China is a big industry, but it pales into insignificance versus the value of iron ore and coal exports going to China. I think it's something like 1 or 2% of the size of what goes across there in terms of iron ore and coal. So in the big picture, the share market's not overly fussed about it, but it does affect individual companies.
So something to look out for down the line. Of course, what we are also looking out for tonight is the Jackson Hole Symposium. And this is where Fed Chief Jerome Powell is potentially going to outline what he thinks is the right way to tackle inflation. So walk us through this, Shane. You've got currently a target of 2% inflation. There might be some new changes that could give the Fed more flexibility. What could we see and how does this affect policy?
It's a good issue. I should also point out in relation to that trade issue Australia has with China, I've got to mention this one, that Australia has in the past put tariffs on goods coming from China, and that has irked the Chinese to some degree. The first time they've even put a tariff on our goods was the barley one, but there's been several examples where Australia's put tariffs coming the other way. So that there's two sides to this story, so you need to put that into some perspective. The Jackson Hole event tonight is a big one. There's long been anticipation that the Fed will change its framework for monetary policy setting. Its current framework is a 2% inflation target. And of course, we saw back in 2015 that the Fed started raising interest rates for the first time on forecasts that inflation would get back to target, even though actual inflation was just 1.5%. Now, I think what they're going to move towards is an inflation average target, where they will say our target is still 2%, but we want inflation to average around 2% over the course of time. Therefore, it follows that if you go through a lengthy period, like we are at the present, where you're under the target for a long while, and then you've got to tolerate a period where it will be a bit above the target for a while to get that inflation average of 2%. Therefore, it's very unlikely they'll be raising interest rates just because the inflation rate is 1.5% and the economy has picked up a little bit. I think it would mean that they'll be a lot slower to raise interest rates going forward. They'll be a lot more tolerant of inflation being above target for a while to achieve that 2% average over time. So that's what's riding on this. The market is treating that shift, that potential shift, as being a positive, a dovish move by the Fed, lower interest rates for longer. But of course, we've yet to have confirmation that it's actually going to occur, and that's why everyone's looking at what Jerome Powell says tonight. And then, of course, it will be he won't actually introduce it tonight. He might just point in that direction. The big one to watch, of course, is the mid-September meeting with the Fed.
So that could be where he could say it. So look out for that next middle of the month in the FOMC meeting. We are chatting with Shane Oliver. He's the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Now, Shane, looking at the markets, we've seen technology really having a huge run. So when you look at markets, it seems like all the low-hanging fruit has been picked up. So that could lead to investors looking elsewhere for bargains. And when you look at the markets, there are some really cheap stocks right now. But there is what's called a value trap. And that is where things could look cheap on the surface, but could spell trouble if you dig a bit deeper. Shane, help us walk through the idea of value traps. What do you look out for to avoid this risk?
Well, I guess there's value and there's a value trap. Value is when a stock is cheap on most metrics. It might have fallen substantially, very low price to earnings multiple, very low price to book value multiple, and an analyst can look at that and say, well, this stock has been hard done by, it's been hit by coronavirus or whatever, economic downturn, and ultimately the value will be unleashed, and therefore a value investor would potentially like that stock. A value trap is where the share price has been knocked down by bad news. It could also be in the midst of a thing like coronavirus or an economic hit, but it's there for a reason. And therefore buying into it turns out to be a trap. It could be, a classic example is perhaps a company that has some legal issues hanging over it, maybe in relation to asbestos or tobacco or wrongdoing in the past, and therefore it's the stock is down because there is a real risk that it will go bust or will have to incur a huge payout to compensate people. So you're really looking for, obviously, legal issues that might push that stock down and yet to be resolved, and therefore could be a big problem down the track. And also value traps, other things you look for is, I guess, a lack of earnings visibility, little confidence that earnings will bounce back, poor record in terms of paying dividends. So there are things you can look out for a value trap, but sometimes even you can go through all the tests, you're pretty confident you've missed a value trap and it turns out to be one. But I reckon that just highlights the argument for diversification. If you've got a well-diversified portfolio of cheap shares, then even if you've got one value trap in there, you'll still do okay as the other cheap shares rebound with the economy.
Yeah, so look out for any potential legal trouble or even structural changes to the business model right now to avoid value traps. We've been chatting with Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, great chatting with you, and we'll catch up with you next time.
That'll be good. Have a great day, Ron.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.